Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Learn to Code with Me podcast. I'm your host, Laurence Bradford, and today's episode is all about time management strategies and productivity. But first, a quick word about this episode's wonderful sponsors. Flatiron School's online data science bootcamp gives students the knowledge, skills, and the experience they need to land jobs as data scientists. Start learning for free with their data science bootcamp prep course. Just go to flatironschool.com/learn-to-code-with-me to get started. Backblaze provides cloud backup that's astonishingly easy and low cost. Back up all of your data and access it from anywhere in the world for just $5 per month. Start your fully featured 15-day free trial today by going to backblaze.com/learn-to-code. Today I talk with Pauline Narvas. Pauline is a self-taught developer, speaker, and community builder. She is one of those people who has been coding since they were 8 years old. However, she never studied computer science in college. All of her tech skills are self-taught, and today she works in DevOps. In this episode, though, we chat all about time management techniques, productivity, and other areas related to health and wellness and the role it plays in one's professional life. I really love talking to Pauline, and I think you're really going to enjoy this show. So let's get into it. Hey, Pauline, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks so much for inviting me.
Yeah, I'm so excited to chat with you today about productivity tips and so much more. But I wanted to start off by mentioning one thing so that the listeners could get some context. Before the interview, we researched guests and, you know, we asked people to come on the show. And I thought that you were so much older than you actually are because you have like this really long, impressive background. But turns out you just graduated college. But looking at your LinkedIn, looking at your website, looking at your work, I thought you were probably 5 to 10 years older than you actually are.
Wow, that's so new. Like normally people see me and meet me and they're like, wait, you're 22? And I'm like, yeah. And then they're like, you look like you're 16. So that is the first time for me. But yeah, thank you. That does mean a lot.
Yeah. So you got started in tech at a really young age, I'm guessing, because your LinkedIn goes back like, I felt like it went back like 10 years. So how old were you? Like 12?
No. So I was actually 8 years old. I know that's really weird.
But,
yeah. So basically, I started my journey into tech when I was 8. I decided that I wanted to recreate a game that I was playing at the time. And then after that, I learned how to code just from like trial and error and obviously the internet. So yeah, I was just learning for fun. And now like loads of things have happened in between. But now I work in tech as my full-time job. So
wow. So you've actually been working in tech for, I'm trying to do the math, 14 years?
Yeah, like technically, yeah.
Wow, that's like, yeah, insanely impressive. So could you tell us a bit about what you're doing now and, you know, now that you're officially a college graduate?
Yeah, I can go back from like the beginning and just talk about the in-between and everything. So I, again, like I said, I started when I was 8, learning how to code just for fun. Then I just carried on learning how to code for fun, like as a side hobby. So I built all these websites for my own like blogs and my like things that interested me at the time. So one good example was when I created a website for like High School Musical because I loved it so much. So I made like this huge like fan site about it. So I did loads of websites over the years. And then I went to school and I went and did computing because I loved the computer. I love the internet. I love learning about everything related to computers and tech. And then after that, when I went into my computing class, I was the only girl there. So I felt really out of place. And boys aren't very nice at that age as well. So
What age? Was this in college or you're talking like before that?
Oh, this was before, like at school. And then I go into college.
Right. Got it.
Okay. So yeah, and then I was the only girl there and then felt really out of place because like boys are really mean at that age. I think I was about I want to say 14, 15. And then after that, I decided that for going to college or university, as we say here in the UK, I decided that I'm going to go and do biology instead because I felt a bit more accepted, like there was a balance between males and females. So I decided to go into university, into college, and I did my degree in biomedical sciences. So completely different from tech and, you know, software engineering or anything like that. So and then I went into biomedical sciences, loved it, but then I was like, I started slowly realizing that biology related jobs isn't for me. So I went on and started exploring elsewhere and really like sort of relearned that I love tech. So I set up like a coding community in the university I was at. And then after that, I loved it and realized that actually I want to go into tech. And now I've just started, well, in September, I officially started my like first real tech job that isn't like an internship. So it's actually a graduate scheme, which is like a training scheme. So I'm working for one of the biggest telecommunications companies in the world, British Telecom. I'm working within their EE brand, which is a mobile network within BT, where I'm working with the development and operations teams. It's really, really good. It's really exciting. And I'm really happy because I'm learning so much every single day.
Yeah, awesome. So I have two follow-up questions with that. The first thing I want to know, did you switch majors? Like, did you officially switch from biomedical sciences to computer science, or did you graduate with the biomedical sciences degree?
No, I actually graduated with my biomedical sciences degree. And when it came to looking for tech jobs, I thought nobody would want me. But alongside my biomedical sciences degree, I did loads of internships in tech. And I really built up that experience side of like my CV rather than my like formal education. So I built up experience in the industry. And then when it came to applying for a grad job, I got it because of, you know, my experience in tech and obviously like passion towards it. And I think that is the main thing that the company was looking for.
Right, right. So I also would love if you could tell us what the graduate scheme or training scheme is. I think I know what it is, but I'm not 100% sure. So could you clarify?
Yeah, sure. A graduate scheme in the UK, it's quite a popular scheme/program here in the UK. So after students graduate from university or college, they get to go to, they can apply to a graduate scheme, which is sort of a fast track into a company. So it's like a training scheme where you have with my training scheme, I have 6 months in one team, and then I get to switch in after the 6 months. So I have 4 6-month rotations lasting 2 years. And then after the 2 years, I can go ahead and pick which area I really enjoyed working in. So for example, right now in my scheme, I'm working in a development and operations team, but my first rotation is in digital architecture, which is looking at more at the higher view of all of the systems and ensuring that propositions go into the business and that it all aligns with our principles, and then obviously passing that on to the delivery teams. So my first rotation is in architecture, and then my second rotation is more in the development side of things. So it's a really great scheme to for graduates to like go into and see what areas that they're like interested in, and then eventually like once they finish the training scheme, they can eventually like specialize in one of the teams that they like the most. It's a really good opportunity, and I'm glad I'm on it.
Awesome. Yeah, no, that makes a ton of sense now. That's what I was kind of assuming that it was, but just wanted you to clarify for me and anyone else listening who wasn't 100% clear. So again, going back to, okay, you're 22 years old, and I was looking at your LinkedIn, your website, you have all of these awards, you have all these points of experience on your resume or CV. And I, like, how did you do it all? Like, how were you, I'm just looking back when I was 22 and before that, you know, you started cooking when you were 8. When I was like in middle school and high school, I was not winning tech awards or any kind of award. I was probably playing like Roller Coaster Tycoon, if you know that, or The Sims or something on my computer. And I know it's such a blunt question, but like, how did you become this way?
Well, so, oh gosh, it is a really broad question, but basically when I went into university, in my second year, I realized that, this is when I sort of just realized that actually I don't like my degree and I don't see it going anywhere. And I didn't like any jobs related to it. So I was just like, oh. So I found myself in sort of this state, this mindset where I was stuck and confused for like quite maybe most of my second year. So I was like, okay, after like sort of beating myself up about like choosing the wrong degree, I sort of just snapped out of it and I said, actually, like, I can make the choices now, and then my choices now will have a huge impact in my future. Like, no one is telling me to like sit down and do this degree and then force, no one's like forcing me to do the job related to my degree. So after sort of that like mindset shift, I sort of was like, actually, yeah, I'm in control of my life. I'm in control of the path that I want to take. So I decided, I literally, after I had all of these like stressful, moments, I sat down and I had a piece of paper and I was like, okay, what do I actually want to do? I put down all of my strengths, all of my weaknesses, all of my interests. And then I was like, okay, which one do I want to focus on? And I decided that actually tech was the route for me. And so, I think I've always been like that since I was younger. So I've always been quite driven once I get out of my slump. So after I got out of that, I was really driven. I was really motivated to really change and take control of my my life. And after I took control and sort of saw the direction I was going in, I really focused on tech. I focused on my internships. I focused on the community work I was doing, and I really gave it my 110%. And that was in 2017, where I literally was 110% delivery. I focused on results and focused on getting the most out of my internships, even if like I didn't like an aspect of it. I really tried my best. And then in early 2018, this year, I started getting a lot of recognition for my community building work. I started getting recognition for the work I was putting out online, because in addition to helping the community, my local community, I was also trying to build what I was doing in my local community online as well, with my blog. And that reached a ton of people. And yeah, 2018 has literally just been a year of all of my hard work sort of paying off. And obviously then I got my full-time job at one of the best like telecommunications companies in the world, which is incredible. So it was a mindset like shift and a decision to try my best. No, like at the end of the day, no one was gonna say, okay, Pauline, here you go, here's like the opportunity. You really have to, for me, I really had to fight and sort of make that own path for myself. So I don't know if that really answers your question, but I think it's like being aware and making that decision to do something great for yourself. So
yeah, no, I absolutely love that. And so many other guests, in fact, probably like all other guests I've had on the show where we have conversations kind of like this, have pointed like a similar experience or have take control of their mindset, you know, every single day. One of our guests on this season, Rebecca, she said something so great. She's like, every single day I coach myself. Like every single day I have to like mentally get myself into this state and push myself and get there, and no one else is going to do it for me and I have to do it myself. And I think that totally answers the question. I would love to talk with you though about like time management and productivity tips, because you were, you know, just last year, the year before, you're studying biomedical sciences, you're doing work online, you're doing community work, you're doing internships. What advice can you share with people like for managing time in a way that you have?
Oh, okay. So one of my favorite topics to talk about, I have to say. So I think, like I said earlier, it is a mindset shift. So you have to be in that mindset to take control of your time. So for me, even in my first year at university, before I was doing community work, before I was doing everything, I struggled so much studying and maintaining my part-time job. So that was already like really, that was such a big challenge for me. But what sort of helped me with that was, sitting down and being like, actually, this is what I have. I have 24 hours in the day. I need to sleep. I need to do this. So what can I do? I need to take control of my time. So it is a mindset shift and a decision you have to make that you want to prioritize that time instead of, you know, wasting it on something else. So with me, I think my main tip and the main thing that got me through my, you know, my final year at university where I was writing like long dissertations and stuff like that, what helped me a lot was using my calendar. So it doesn't matter if you have a digital calendar or a paper calendar, or you write your calendar like on, I don't know, your toilet paper or whatever. It doesn't matter where you have your calendar. I think calendars are what's really helped me prioritize my time and see where my time goes. So for me, in my final year, I was studying, I was doing community work, I was doing tech talks. I had two part-time jobs and about like when I say it all, when I list it all, it seems like impossible to do all at once, but my calendar really helped. So what I usually do is on a Sunday, I sit down and I pull up my Google calendar and I plan out and block out some time for all the things I need to do that week. So when I was a student, it was like study a module or finish your assignment. So I blocked time to really just sit down and focus on those things. I mostly did all of my really important tasks in the morning as well, because that helped me just get it done quicker, because I'm much more productive in the morning. So I blocked out every single activity, like every single thing, and put it all in my calendar. So I even blocked out time for lunch, blocked out time to go to the gym, blocked out time to practice yoga, practice mindfulness. After you like try it for a week, just blocking out your time and sticking with it, you eventually get into that routine, you eventually get into that flow, and it just helps, it just works. So I think my main time management tip is to use your calendar and really, really utilize it, because it just shows you the time that you do have. And then after that, it's just all about prioritizing. So for me, it was categorizing what is most important. So for me, in my final year, it was studying for an upcoming exam or finishing an assignment for a specific module. So I made sure that I put those two main things first at the top of like the first thing I do in the day, and then obviously like gym, and then other things like work in the afternoon, because my job was one of my part-time jobs was remote, so I could do it wherever I was. So I blocked out time for that. So yeah, I think blocking out your time, prioritizing, and understanding yourself, having that self-awareness that, you know, this is when I'm most productive, this is when I'm not that productive, and when I need to take a break. So I think having that like awareness as well really helps. And another thing that has helped me manage my time is focusing having focus music, So I always have like focus music in the afternoon, because in the morning I don't need it that much, but in the afternoon I'm starting to, after lunch especially, I'm starting to like get a bit less productive, getting a bit more sleepy and wanting a nap. But having focus music helps for me. Right now I'm using an app called Calm. It's a meditation app, but they have a music section and it really just like helps me you know, focus on a specific task. And yeah, and also have like a specific spot that helps you focus, because I feel like when you're sat down in a place that is full of distractions, you're never going to get anything done, even if you've blocked out time, even if you know your priorities. So just make sure that you have a good environment that has, that doesn't have a TV, or that a room that calms you, and a space that really allows you to want to be productive, want to have that mindset of, you know, smashing your goals, making sure you finish, you tick off everything on your to-do list. So yeah, I think those are my main advice.
Sit tight, podcast listeners. We're taking a quick break to hear a word from our sponsors. Since 2012, Flatiron School has helped more than 1,200 students launch new careers in tech. And now they're helping their students break into one of tech's most in-demand fields, data science. There has been a 650% growth in data science jobs since 2012. In fact, data scientist and machine learning engineer jobs are the two fastest growing careers in all of technology. With Flatiron School's online data science bootcamp, you can take advantage of that growth and land a job as a data scientist sooner than later. Thanks to their tried and true curriculum, top instructors, and dedicated career coaches, you can change careers with confidence. Even better, if you don't get a job offer after working with Flatiron School for 6 months, they'll give you your money back. Start learning for free with Flatiron School's data science bootcamp prep course. Just go to flatironschool.com/learn-to-code-with-me to get started. Backblaze provides unlimited cloud backups for Macs and PCs for just $5 per month. It backs up your code, documents, music, photos, and videos, basically everything you could possibly need to protect, completely automatically. Access your data from anywhere in the world, whether that's via your computer or on the go using their iOS and Android apps. Even better, you can recover just one file or all of your files. The choice is yours. And if you do have a complete system failure, you can buy a hard drive with all of your data and have it sent overnight via FedEx. You can even return the drive to Backblaze and get a full refund. With over 700 petabytes stored and 35 billion files restored, you can count on Backblaze to protect your data. It's gimmick-free with no hidden charges, just $5 a month for full backups and peace of mind. To start your fully featured 15-day free trial, go to backblaze.com/learn-to-code. That's backblaze.com/learn-to-code. Try Backblaze and start protecting your data today. Ooh, so many gems there. Thank you. So you just mentioned to-do lists, and I was thinking about this when you were speaking. So you use a calendar, you block out time in your day, got that. Do you also use like a to-do list outside of that to like mark things done as you do them? Or is...
Yes, I do. So like I said, I have sort of a system. So I'll quickly chat you through that. So I have my Google Calendar. I block out the time to do like a specific like assignment or a specific task. But I also have my to-do list. I use Todoist. That's to do and then IST, Todoist. And that's literally just a list of things I have to do. So that's more in detail. So for example, for my assignment, finish assignment, make sure you have your references, make sure you get it peer reviewed, et cetera, et cetera. Whereas the time I have, the thing that I have on my calendar, it's more like 2 hours for to finish assignment, or 2 hours to write a blog post. And then in my Todoist, it's more the details, because it's sometimes I look at my calendar and it's like, okay, I understand the areas of priorities, the areas of priorities and things I need to do. But my to-do list is focusing more on the actual task itself. So it helps me sort of like focus on the task rather than having a broad view of what I need to do, if that makes sense. So yeah, so that's my system.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. So do you use anything else aside from those two things? Like the Todoist app, I think I've used it. We'll add a link to the show notes. You use your calendar. Is there anything else and outside of that? Are those like the two main things?
Those are the two main things to help me manage my time and increase like my productivity. But I think another thing, like I mentioned earlier, is having the focus music. So Calm, the meditation app, really helps me. I think I've actually included it in my productivity folder on my phone. So I class it as a productivity app, even though it's a fitness and health app. So
interesting. Oh, so I just want to mention another resource here for the listeners. I used to actually pay for this. We'll include the link. It's called Focus at Will. And it's like, I'm not going to get into it all over here. People want to check it out, they can go to the website, but it's like music specifically, like it literally says scientifically optimized to help you focus at the top of the page. And that's like their whole business is just creating different playlists and music for different kinds of focus, different kinds of people. Cause some people need like the creative, some need the logical, whatever, whatever. So if people want to check that out, we'll add a link to it. But yeah, I used to pay for that. I stopped cause for me, I don't feel like the music has as big of an impact on me. I think it used to, but I won't go off on a tangent with that. I wanted to also ask you, how do you figure out what to prioritize in your day-to-day? So you said like, okay, on Sunday, I'll sit down, I'll plan out my week. But like, what kind of factors or decisions do you use to be like, this is higher priority versus this is lower priority?
So for me, it's the first thing I look at is deadlines. So if a particular project needs to be delivered by a certain date, I'm like, okay, obviously this is due in for next week, or this is due in for in 2 weeks or tomorrow or whatever. So obviously that's top priority. But if there's like no deadlines or the deadlines are more like a long-term thing, I usually make sure that I prioritize the harder tasks first, because this is totally like an unpopular opinion, but I actually really enjoy admin tasks because they really help like soothe my mind. So emails and all of that, I love doing them, but I make sure that I do them in the afternoon rather than the morning, because like I said, I am my most productive in the morning. So I make sure that the more difficult tasks that require a bit more thought, a bit more energy, I make sure that I prioritize them first, and then the low priority ones are ones that don't use up my energy as quickly. So so like I said, admin tasks, and I usually do them in the afternoon, but that's sort of a very general way of how I prioritize my tasks.
Right. Cool. Thank you for sharing that. Another thing that you talked about that I want to get your thoughts on. You mentioned going to the gym. You mentioned yoga and mindfulness and scheduling time for those during the day. What role do you think those things have on your productivity?
So I go to the gym. Like it's the first thing I do before anything else. I also do meditation and mindfulness. So I make sure that I do those first thing before anything else, because they really set out my day. I think I'm sure that there's scientific research somewhere, but the endorphins have they have such a huge impact on me. It's so positive because I've noticed how when I don't go to the gym, I am much more sluggish in the morning, and my mornings feel more like the afternoons, if that makes sense. So, they do make such a huge difference to my day. And yoga, I usually do those in the evenings or in the weekends when I don't want to do like heavy weights or anything like that. So I do yoga, especially after like a very stressful day. It's helped a lot because You know, when you know, in the middle of the week, I'm sure we've all had these days, but in the middle of the week, you feel really overwhelmed with all of the tasks that you have to do, all the projects you need to deliver. But then you go to yoga and then it just really soothes you and makes you feel like it's okay, because there's always tomorrow. There's always next time to, you know, catch up. And yeah, it really, that evening routine on my more stressful days really helps set out the days for sort of reset the day for tomorrow, instead of being focused in that negative mindset that, oh my gosh, it's so overwhelming, I can't do it sort of thing. So I think, yeah, my health and fitness routines are so vital as part of my productivity and, you know, just general outlook in life.
Yeah, no, totally makes sense. So you schedule time for, you know, all these different things. You're super productive. You have all these awards. You're very prolific. You write, you do speaking events, now you have a full-time job and all that. What about breaks? What about social life? What about vacation? Like, how do you plan those things out? Do you plan those things out? Do you have like set times during the day you take breaks? I'm curious, like, how you handle that.
Thankfully, my job right now is they're really like pro work-life balance. So they promote like breaks a lot at work. So for example, we have yoga sessions in the office every Wednesday. It's because everyone needs like a pick-me-up on Wednesdays. With breaks, I make sure that I stand up from my desk at least once and every hour, just to walk around like to the kitchen to get some tea or water, or just walk around the office. So that's generally my breaks, and they're generally like, you know, spread around my day. As for like breaks in between like working weeks and stuff, I make sure like my Sundays are always really chilled out. I make sure that I don't plan anything on my Sunday. So on my Sundays, it's literally just the only thing that's blocked out on Sundays is chill. And that time is literally for me to do nothing at all. And it's sort of a good reminder for me as well to say that, you know, it's okay that I don't do anything, because I have had I have had weeks where I'm studying, I'm working, and then I have an event to run like over the weekend, like hackathons, for example. And those weeks have truly, truly burnt me out. And then eventually it takes me like maybe a week and a bit to, you know, fully recover. And that's with like things in between as well. So being burnt out is never good. So always take breaks. And for social life and stuff like that, I make sure that I plan like any parties in advance. So usually when my friends are going out, or that if there's an event or anything, they usually tell me anyway, because I think a lot of my friends know that I'm very particular with my time. So they tell me anyway. But obviously, like, not everything is planned. Things happen, ad hoc things, and I usually have to make that decision to, you know, to say like yes or no, depending on what my workload is like and what I want to get out of the week. So for example, if a friend invites me but I have like a deadline coming up, I really have to, like, I usually look at my calendar, usually look at my to-do list, and usually look for flexibility in between the days, you know, that they invite me for something, and then decide from there. Usually I do make changes during the week, depending on what's, you know, what these ad hoc invites and things happening in life happens. So I usually just make a decision based on that. I think it is really important to not overwork yourself and to give yourself flexibility during the day. Like, I know I was talking about blocking a lot of time out, but don't have it so that it stresses you out, because that's not the point of it. It's meant to like not stress you out. It's meant to make things easier so you have sort of a schedule. But at the same time, accept that life happens, so it's okay to have flexibility.
Yeah, I feel like that kind of attitude and mindset being good with the changes and staying flexible. I'm sure yoga and meditation help with that as well.
Definitely does. Yeah. I don't think so. Before I did meditation or yoga, I literally was such a workaholic. So every single second of the day, I was either writing a blog post, studying, or, you know, planning a talk or whatever. So it was always like on. And eventually, like, I have suffered from burning out. So, and it's not a good feeling. It's not a good feeling at all. So I think it is important to be flexible and not beat yourself up over it. So loads of my yoga sessions and my meditation sessions have taught me that. It's something that you eventually like cultivate into your mindset and your routine. And it is just all about self-talk. So how you talk to yourself about missing a deadline or, you know, or not being flexible and stuff like that. It is a mindset, because at the end of the day, if you do miss a deadline or, you know, because of certain circumstances, then, you know, that's just life. You have to accept it instead of, you know, beating yourself up over it. And I've been in both like extremes before. So,
yeah. Real quick, when did you start doing yoga and the meditation?
So I started it in the summer of 2016, because I had a very personal thing that happened to me. And alongside that, it was the same year I was very confused about what I wanted to do with my life. So something personal happened, and then it really just woke me up and it motivated me to really take control. That was all in the same sort of year, the same month. So and ever since then I've not stopped. So
wow. And I know you mentioned this, but just you do meditation like every morning?
So in 2016 I was every morning for a year and 3 months. It was like a very long streak. I was very proud of myself. But nowadays it's like maybe four times a week. It's just because I feel like I got a lot of the benefits from meditation in my first year. And sometimes I focus more on other tasks. So for me, it's been like the gym. And making sure I get my full workout in. So, and the gym for me has had the same meditation benefits. So, meditation is fantastic and I truly recommend it to anyone. And if anyone wants to get started, I recommend using Calm or Headspace. They're both fantastic apps to really help you get into that routine.
Amazing. I know. I feel like I could probably have a whole episode just about meditation and mindfulness. And I know I could keep going on about it, but unfortunately we're running low on time. But so thank you so much for coming on, Pauline. Just so much great wisdom and tips that you shared. I know the listeners are going to get a ton of value from this episode. Where can people find you online?
So people can find me usually tweeting on Twitter. My Twitter handle is Paulina. That's spelled PAULINUH. And I'm also on Instagram at paul.lean. I also write a blog, paulline.com, and that's spelled PAWLEAN.com. I also have a portfolio site, paulinenarvas.com, and I'm on LinkedIn as Pauline Narvas. I'm everywhere. If you type in Pauline Narvas, I'm sure you'll find me.
Thank you so much for sharing those. We'll include all the links in the show notes, and thanks again for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been such a pleasure.
That's our show. Thanks for tuning in. For a recap or to browse through other episodes and show notes, head on over to learntocodewith.me/podcast. If you like tech-related content like this podcast, make sure to sign up for my email list. You can do so easily right on the homepage at learntocodewith.me. There's a big sign-up form right at the top. I'll send you new blog posts, tell you about time-limited course deals, and much more. It was great to have you with me today. Join me next week for another episode.